people who love them.
Hello, welcome back to The Thing About Cars. We are recording, as always, in Atlanta, Georgia, in Strong Box West. It is a beautiful day outside, and in a few short minutes, we're going to head over to the Brookhaven Arts Festival and check out the C5 car show that's happening in the lot over there. And hopefully we will see some of our friends out there. In any case, around the table we have...
Becca.
Ronnie.
Ben.
And I'm Mickey, as always. Let's just jump right into our topics today. This is an interesting thing because I thought that Mazda had made some decisions to just completely scrap the Wankel engine and never look back again. But apparently that's not going to happen. Ben?
Well, what I've been reading, and apparently it's been generating a little enthusiast buzz, is that they are going to be bringing back the Wankel rotary, which, you know, as we all know, is a pistonless rotary engine. It's a non-reciprocating, you know, it's got triangular rotors that move around and around instead of up and down like pistons. They used it in the RX series cars from the 70s into the 90s, or even into the 2000s in the RX-8, and then it went away. It had its share of technical issues, but they have found a new niche for it. It's going to be coming back as a range extender in some electric vehicles. And the reasons are pretty good, I think, because they focus on the upsides of these engines, the upsides being they're fairly compact and lightweight for the amount of power they produce. They're also very, very smooth, which fits well with the very quiet, smooth vibe of electric cars. You know, if you suddenly have engine rumble going on, you know, like with some of the hybrids now. So, yeah, I think it'll be good in that niche. Also, it's a low-load application, so they may not wear as fast as the ones did in the past that were powering the whole car. Because, you know, one of the issues that killed the rotary was tip seal wear. There's a little seal on the point of the rotors, and they just never did quite get around the wear on those. They also were not the most fuel-efficient engines as far as driving the wheels directly went. So as a range extender, I think it may be a pretty good technology.
So we're not going to see an RX-9 with the Wankel engine in it, but we may see a Wankel engine inside an electric car.
Well, they haven't told us what it will be in. For all we know, a hybrid RX-9 could be in the works. I don't know. Right. Mazda's pretty tight-lipped about what they're working on most of the time.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Becca.
Wankel.
Yes.
I've been sitting here the whole time just kind
of. Yeah, well, we have to make that distinction because it's not the only type of rotary engine. It's just that's the name of that type.
It's yeah. It's a fun yeah. word.
Yes, it is.
It is. It is. So there's a gentleman named Paul who works over at Mazda World, or I can't remember the name of the entity. It's basically a secondhand parts shop.
Mazmart.
Mazmart, that's yeah. it. Thank you.
Mazmart.
Mazmart. And they have everything you could ever want in the world of Mazdas. And in fact, they have an old, what is that thing sitting in their front lawn?
I think it's an RX-5.
Yeah.
Where is this at?
It's over in Brookhaven.
Oh, it's not too far away.
It's not too far away at all. Yeah. So we should invite Paul, the manager over there, to come join us one of these days.
We should.
And specifically to talk about Mazdas. We could do like a Mazda-specific episode, maybe.
I've bought parts there. They're a pretty good outfit, I think.
Yeah, me too. I've bought parts there. Speaking of Mazda, my Mazda 6, I think I've got a warped rotor.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty easy to do, actually.
Yeah.
I've got a warped rotor and a bent rim.
But the warped rotors are annoying.
That actually could have happened at the same time. If you hit a pothole with enough water in it, you could have warped the rotor and dented the rim at the same time.
Well, I know it hasn't because the rim has been bent for quite a long time.
Wow.
And for the last two or three tire rotation cycles, that particular rim has been on the back of the car, so it's not been bothering me so much. Now it's back on the front of the car, and it's bothering me a great deal. So, but the new thing is the warp rotor. I don't know when it started to warp, but it's becoming more and more noticeable. And the car may simply be due for a brake job anyway, so I'm tempted just to replace all four rotors and all four sets of pads, and you know, see where that gets me. But you were saying that's an easy thing to fix. Should I not replace the rotors? Do you think I should just get them resurfaced?
Well, I was saying it was an easy thing to accomplish.
Yeah.
Warping your rotors. It's very easy to happen, and it's something I've seen a lot in my friend's shop. When I'm hanging out there, I've seen people come in yelling about, I just had my brakes done this amount of time ago, now it's warped, what's going on? It's just another physics thing. It has to do with the heating and cooling of the rotor and patches of water, and it happens. I'm not saying necessarily it's an easy fix. It depends on what kind of rotor you've got.
It's how a Mazda brake job. It requires one particular tool for something. I can't remember what the actual extraction tool is.
It's going to be for compressing the piston of the caliper.
Right.
But even then, I mean, if you have strong hands, you really don't need the compression tool.
And I saw a really good cheat, and now I can't remember what they were using. I'll have to remember.
C-clamp. We've done it with the C-clamp before.
I've done that, yeah.
No, this was something else. This was something I saw on Pinterest.
Okay.
So I'll have to see if I can find it. What?
I didn't know Pinterest got involved in the world of mechanics.
Oh, it's all over it. It's whatever you want to pin.
Actually, it's kind of surprising to me that Pinterest has the demographic that it's got. Pinterest is known for having a largely female demographic, you know, people who are doing the whole collection.
We like cars, too.
I get it. You're preaching to the choir here, but the funny thing is that there's a bunch of stuff on Pinterest for men, and the men just don't know it.
All it is a giant favorites board. That's whoever wants to go out there, whatever you favorite, and we all share. There is a ton of automotive stuff.
So if what you want is guns, knives, cars, and scantily clad women, there's plenty of that on Pinterest.
Yes.
Actually,
I like the scantily clad women.
I got my idea to build my computer desk. I used to try to make attempts to do some professional gaming and streaming, and I built this fantastic rig based off of a Pinterest board, which was really a lot of fun. But to help with your rim issue, there's a company out in Chamblee, called Wheel Wizard Wheel Repair. And they are a fantastic company that has done a ton of work for me, and they have always come through in a pinch. Their pricing is very reasonable. I think it's somewhere in the neighborhood of 160 to 200, depending on the size of the wheel, to fix your bend, resurface it, repaint it, like the whole nine. I've had a whole set of Lamborghini wheels done by them, repainted, refinished, et cetera, for under $1,000, which is very reasonable in my book.
I called around and I called them. And the average price for fixing my rim settled around $130-140. And there's one guy who works at a shop somewhere in Buckhead who said he would do it for $125. Now that I have this full-time job that keeps me occupied during the week, I just don't know when I'm going to have time to get it done. So unless they can come to me and grab the wheel and do it while I'm at work.
They'll do that.
Wait, really?
Wheel Wizard will do that. If you call them, you say, hey, can you send a guy out to rip my wheel off? You know, fix it. You may have to Uber that day. They may get it to you the next day, but they will. They came to pick up my Lamborghini wheels when I did that. Their customer service is excellent in that respect.
I wonder if they could do it the same day.
It's possible if you schedule it appropriately. I wouldn't be surprised if they could make that happen.
Like just leave my car on a jack in my parking lot, which I'm sure that the company will really appreciate.
Right.
But hey, if I have a car that I can drive home that day, I'll be happy. So I need to get these things done on the Mazda. And the brake job, you know, except for the one rotor, the brakes are fine. Do I replace just the one rotor, or is it time to just do all four? That's the question. Rock Auto makes it affordable to do all four if I want to.
I would at least do them in sets.
Oh, yeah.
If not all four, but two.
Yeah. What I need to do is get them measured just to see how far away from spec I am. And if it's close, I'm just going to do all four. But we'll just do a stock upgrade off of Rock Auto. And I don't know. I may ask for your help with that. Let's do pizza and beer or something.
Sounds fun.
Yeah. Mazda brakes. All right, what's next on the board? What's in Ronnie's shop?
Yes. Right now I'm actually caught between several cars. I think I mentioned that I was working on this one car earlier episode. One of my good friends is a very talented stunt driver, and he recently bought an E46 M3. And he asked me to get it to slide for him, which it can do on its own already. Mm-hmm. But we're talking about stunt sliding, which includes the installation of a hydraulic handbrake. He also wants to use the vehicle for film, so I can't strip the interior out too much, which is an interesting balance. On most cars that we do this on, it's usually for police cars that you'll see in movies. We can make a hidden pedal. And that would actuate the secondary brakes. Mm-hmm. And since it's so well tucked, you can leave the interior completely alone and not know any better. The thing with the M3 is that it's manual, so you already have three pedals at your feet, so you can't add an extra, technically you can, but it's a bit too much to add an extra pedal in order to install a hydraulic e-brake. Yeah.
Most cars have a dead pedal. Does it have a dead pedal?
It does.
Could you just remove the dead pedal and give some extra room, put it over there?
Technically, but the issue is you're using your clutch. So
yeah, you would swing both feet further to the left, especially the one more so than you're used to, but
then you have to think about all the footwork that kind of goes into it when you're trying to maintain a drift. Sometimes you have to clutch kick to drop a gear quickly while heel toeing, so both of your feet are occupied, but you
need... Well, that's why I was shocked when you said a foot pedal over a handbrake, a hand lever, whatever you want.
Hydraulic.
Right. So, right.
Well, I just mean up here.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I was surprised you said add another pedal, but...
Yeah. So what I have to do is install a hand lever for a hydraulic handbrake, which isn't hard in principle. The difficult part is making it hidden enough so that the rest of his interior looks perfectly stock. Because it's a large mechanism. It's a master cylinder attached to, I don't know, a 2-foot handle.
How long can you make the hydraulic lines?
Oh, the hydraulic lines I can run anywhere and everywhere. The problem is the master cylinder needs to be directly attached to the handle, and I can't fabricate.
See, I was thinking of, yeah, never mind.
Yeah, so trying to fabricate an extension, I'm sure is possible, but it's outside of my skill set.
Under the seat?
That's actually
and
one of the places.
And this coming up in between where you usually lose all your change at, you put the handle?
Yeah.
So it kind of ties.
Well, you can't keep it too close to the seat. The driver very specifically requested that the handle be right between the shifter and the steering wheel so he can bounce back and forth between all three components very easily. So it's a fun challenge. Finally got my welders up and running so I can work on my fabrication skills. I've had them sitting in my shop for 7 months now, and I've never got the electronic components or the gas necessary to make them work.
Mm-hmm.
Finally got that last week, and now I'm just mapping out a plan to set up the base plates to install the handle, but then I have to reroute the electronics because I've displaced the window switches, the hazard lights, the lock-unlock button, and all of the traction control electronics.
Oh, boy.
So... I'm sure I can fabricate something. I've seen people do
that
it before.
I have experience in fabricating. If you I don't know,
you've
want
done
any ideas.
Metalworking?
Well, no, as far as relocation of switch panels.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
So a lot of plastic working, shall we call it? We'll come up with a new word here.
Becca does electronics.
Oh,
it's kind
awesome.
Of my wheelhouse.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll call you out one day. You can check it out, and we'll have a great time.
Okay.
But that's number one project. But right behind that is three stunt cars for my buddy Kevin Waterman, who's also one of the best stunt drivers in town. He's got 3 or 4 police cars that are in need of hydraulic handbrakes as well. But fortunately, since they're automatics, I can put the foot pedal in, and that alleviates a lot of the labor and brainstorming that I would have to do to make the projects work. So that's what's in my shop for now, until I can get my car in to finish off everything that I wanted to do for it.
Right.
Which car?
That's right. The Nissan 240SX. The 93, in which I got pulled over with 2 weeks ago because my phone didn't understand where I was trying to navigate to. So I took it out of my holder, put it in my hand, and said, "Hey, Google, navigate home," as a cop drove right by me.
Nice.
Yep. I think part of that has to do with, and I forget this every time, the car draws attention. Like,
yeah, sure.
If you know what it is, everyone's going to want to look at the car and look at who's driving it and see what's been done to the car. And this police officer knew exactly what I was driving, so he was paying a lot of attention. And he saw me talking to my navigation in hand, and that popped me.
Oh, man.
Yep.
Well, and it kills me because I see people on their phones all the time, and not just asking for directions. I've seen people still
texting. Yes.
Full on texting right there in front of an open window and swerving while we're at it still, in spite of us having a hands-free law, in spite of all the education in the world that says don't do that, we're still surrounded by people who do this. Mm-hmm. And it just, absolutely, it just kills me.
And I did it at a stoplight. It wasn't even like...
Oh, man.
But yeah, the new law...
He said if it was even on your lap, I have to give you a ticket.
Yeah. It can't be touching any part of your body now. Your car cannot be out of park. You cannot be on anything other than a parking surface. Yeah, it's very explicit in the new law.
Kills me. Just kills me. And I have these visions of being able to do a citizen's arrest on these people who are just blatantly, you know, being irresponsible with their texting, or getting a James Bond car so I can eject a hot stream of wet concrete on their windshield.
But on that note, though, I have seen more people trying to be like citizen police, and they're honking at the people that are doing this. The problem that I've seen is that the person that's on their phone, when they hear that horn, they panic and will swerve even more erratically.
Oh, good grief.
So depending on the person, some people are totally fine and just look up, but I have seen some just panic when they hear that horn. And so other people trying to stop them is not really helping either.
What to do?
Education.
Education.
It comes back to education.
You cannot beat smart into some people. I'm just saying.
Then we move on to investing in public transportation.
Can we try, Becca? Can we try?
Oh, I would love to try. Yeah. I would love to try.
You will understand this. But yeah, I think Ronnie's right, and I think, you know, all you can do is, I mean, it's one of those things where all you can do is make your best effort to let people know that you shouldn't be a jerk in this way, and just hope for the best. But anyway, on that depressing note, maybe we should wrap up this episode.
Well, we've got a few minutes. I can always throw in my little one.
Yeah, do it.
Just so everybody can giggle. Yeah. We had talked about on an earlier episode where I have acquired a third vehicle. So I have this Jeep Liberty that, you know, it's just kind of my daily driver, just kind of a fun little thing, give us more options for camping and whatnot.
Right.
But the problem is, and it's not a strong car. It's a good car, don't get me wrong, but it's not my Mustang. It's not my G8 when I say that. But the tires it came with, if somebody were to sneeze on the road, I would lose traction. My Mustang, without traction control, had better traction in the rain than the Jeep.
I'm not surprised.
It came with these tires called Thunderers. Has anybody ever heard of a Thunderer?
No.
I thought I was reading it wrong the first time. Should that say Thunder? No, it says Thunderer.
Weird.
So I finally got them changed. What was it? Was it yesterday? No, 2 days ago.
Yeah.
Went up and saw my friend Max. Becca and I both talk about Max every once in a while. And went up, saw him, got a good deal. They're Firestone. I was aiming for Bridgestone, but I ended up with Firestone. And immediately, we haven't had any rain yet since then, but immediately I could feel that the Jeep is gripping even the dry pavement better. So
tire just, makes all the difference.
It does.
Oh, it really does. And I've always said that tires are not appreciated enough. But this really, I wasn't expecting that much on the dry pavement. So
I've experimented with tires. I keep going back to Michelin's as being my favorite, except for the Mazda. This came to me with a set of really nice Bridgestone low profile tires on it. Mm-hmm. And people in some circles pan Bridgestones. These have been totally great tires. Mm-hmm. These have been really good. They hold everything well. They're comfortable.
And I've swung towards Bridgestone the last couple of years. I've been running Potenzas on the other two. I used to run Pirelli, and then they went downhill. Mm-hmm. I've tried Nittos, which I actually call Nittos. And I landed on the Potenzas. Mm-hmm. And I really like those. So I was trying to go for some of the all-terrain on the Jeep, but my friend talked me into his Firestone.
And I also guess it depends on the kind of car, because I've gone through I've gone through a set of Dunlops. I've gone through multiple Pirellis, Kumos, mm-hmm. Hankooks, Michelins, of course, anyway. But yeah, I keep going back to Michelin.
Can I say what I call Kumo?
What do you call Kumo?
Maybe better? I can't say that on here for trying to keep it clean.
Is it X-rated? Yeah, let's not.
Sure, everybody can guess.
All right, on that note, we'll call this episode wrapped. And thank you, as always, for joining us. We are The Thing About Cars. This is Strongbox West, and it's a beautiful day out here in Atlanta. Please find our Patreon for The Thing About Cars. We welcome your support, your advice, your suggestions, questions, all of the above. And as always, just be safe out there. We will see you next time.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hang up and drive.
Thank you for listening. This has been The Thing About Cars. We'll see you on the road.